Hello, I'm Paddy O'Donnell, and this is The Crimologist from Farrow and Ball, the podcast where paint and colour meet life. Colour has always been a huge part of my own life, working as a chef, a florist, then a specialist painter, and now more than ever as a colour expert for Farrow and Ball, the people who transformed our ideas about beautiful paint and colour. Essentially, what I get to do is roll my sleeves up and turn people's innermost dreams into a glorious reality.
The world is colourful. I always see life in colour.
And that's also what a crimologist is. It's actually a word Farrow & Ball coined to explain the way colour and design translate over time.
This is really lovely because that's kind of got that really sweet pale blue.
Yes.
That's kind of a pertinent colour for you
exactly. Anyway.
So it kind of nods back to your own story from your childhood.
To me, that's what's so fascinating about the way colour runs through our lives. And it's why we've created this series, to explore how colour works in a room, but also how it works in our heads, our hearts, our identities.
So easy. Oh, I just love yellow. Why?
The names are quite funny, aren't they?
They are quite funny.
What's the funniest name, do you think? Dead Salmon's quite funny.
So I'm going to be immersing myself in the lives and homes of designers, artists, creators and performers, and with my trusty colour chart as my guide, asking them to choose four pivotal colours that have shaped their lives.
Looking at all the names now, Mouse's Back is pretty evident. Bancha, how do you say that?
Bancha, yeah.
Paddy, dare I ask you how you would decorate this hallway?
Can I put my thinking hat on? Because I don't want to suddenly pull the colour out of the hat just because I'm on the spot.
I had a big disaster with India Yellow.
I've never done my life story through colour, and everyone should do this.
I'm hopelessly excited and a little bit nervous, but I hope each conversation will encourage all of you to embrace more colour and reveal more of you in the process. So our very first guest for this new series is Mary Portis. Many of us will know Mary and her flame red bob, which is now no longer, from our TV screens. She's also the former creative director of Harvey Nicks, and she's even had government ask her for consultancy on high street shopping. Nowadays, she runs her own consultancy, Portis, and she's a huge campaigner for conscious shopping and living. Mary, it's so lovely to be invited into your wonderful home. Welcome, Mary.
Lovely. Well, welcome to you. You're in my home.
I am in your home. Bloody lovely.
Is that a deliberate thing, that your glasses are matching your interiors?
Well, do you know what? It so is. Well, no, it's not totally deliberate. I love good colour glasses, you know? And so these are my pink ones in my pink room. And I get sent these. I'm very lucky. And so I've got green ones over there. And then downstairs, I've got some really lovely sort of, I wouldn't say they're a tangerine. They're not. They're sort of a brownie orange shade.
To go with the wood tones.
To go with the wood tones. Neutral in my bedroom. Not that you're going up there, Patrick.
Why not?
I'm really fascinated by that painting behind you. Mm. I'm seeing angels. Can I see angels? I'm almost seeing a little bit of iconography.
Well, it's one, you know, art does that. It's really funny. This morning I was sitting with my little son and I just decided to talk paintings with him. You know, we were having breakfast and I said, what do you see in the painting? And it was so interesting to hear this 11-year-old discuss what he saw versus what I saw. I'd never done this before. I don't know whether it was because I knew you were coming in and I was looking at colour. I think choosing art and putting art within your home and choosing your colours and trying to create a harmony, for me, that's really important. I'm not sure I always wanted harmonious homes, you know, but at the moment that's how I feel.
So there's plenty of colour in here, but it's layered in a very delicate way. Mm. There's nothing that shouts. There's a strength here, and this is you. This is your resilience. Mm. This is your space. This is your quiet. Mm. And then this lovely soft pink, and you've got a little bit of olive and a velvet cushion. Well, this is very still in here.
Yes.
And
yes.
Is that deliberate?
Yes. It happened organically, as it were. You know, it's a time of my life, I guess. This is, you know, a house where I live on my own. I have my son who comes half the week, and my kids, when they come back from their places, my elder children will stay here. But essentially, I created this for me, and I've never done that before.
So, Mary, I've asked you to choose some colours from chapters of your life, so we're kicking off with your childhood. So what is that colour of your childhood?
I've chosen this yellow, and it was that wonderful, I think you'll remember it, the sort of 60s yellow. My mother had a little tea set. and there were different cup colours. In fact, I've got some cups downstairs. I found some in a market. And I was, I've got to buy those cups. And they had pale yellow, pale pink, pale blue. There was those. You remember when the melamine on the top of kitchen tables?
Yeah, with the white steel legs.
Loved it. And that was our kitchen table.
Right.
So five kids. And I had the yellow cup, the lemon yellow cup. And just having my own cup, it was my little sense of my own space in this sort of busy world of five kids. That was my cup. And yellow has always been to me joy or possibility. So that's definitely a childhood colour. And I loved yellow. I remember my mother used to put yellow bows in my hair as well. I think it's a colour I always associated with me. And then many years later, when I fell in love with my future husband, we went to see this house and the back door was yellow. And I remember standing in the garden. It was a really beautiful spring day and looking at this yellow door and saying, one day children will run through there. And so we kept it yellow. I think he still has it as yellow. And children did run through it. And then I called my company Yellow Door. So yellow was very important to me.
Of course you did, yeah.
Yeah. I felt very connected to it.
Because this colour you've chosen, which is Hound Lemon from our archive palette, and just to explain to listeners, our archive is where we retire colours. When we introduce new colours, they go into our archive. But it's quite a discreet yellow. And this was developed by John Fowler. You know, as in Sybil Colfax and John Fowler, it's one of his colours. It's quite subtle, isn't it? There's not a greyness, but there's a kind of reduced... It's not a shouty yellow. It's not a big sunshine yellow. And there's actually a tiny little dose of green through this, which I think gives it a really nice sort of gentle restraint. And it's, I think it's a really... If people are nervous of yellow, and I think a lot of people are nervous of committing to yellow, whether wearing it or decorating with it.
The other thing about, I was thinking about that, I do think there's something so joyful still passing a field of sunflowers. You know, there is something magical. And to me, they were for a long time my favourite flowers. And the fact that their heads would just look up to the sun and they were connected very much, you know, to joy, warmth. So I just think it's a very beautiful colour. And I painted my children's rooms yellow because I didn't know whether I was going to have boys or girls or whatever, and I always thought yellow was lovely. And I loved my babies dressed in yellow and lemon. I think there's something just warm, fuzzy and homely.
And do you think, because it links you to your mother, which I know you sadly lost, rather than necessarily your childhood per se.
Yes, and I think it links me to her very much in that kitchen, the little yellow melamine top to the table. And maybe, you know, I've never really thought about that a huge amount before, but it feels a very safe and loving colour for me.
Moving on, we're going to go and have a look at colour number two. And this is really the colour of your youth.
Yeah, this is red. I mean, to me, I rarely use red, and I'm not a red person at all.
Even in lippy and stuff?
No. I was, but I'm not now. But when you ask through my life, I don't think I could not have red within it. Right. So
you've obviously chosen Romesco from our Carte Blanche collection. You know, that lovely fiery red, and Romesco comes from that beautiful Spanish sauce, which I think is made with peppers and tomatoes and almonds.
Yeah, but I think the red pepper's nearer the colour of red that I need. So I need less of the almonds and more of the red pepper in my Romesco.
Well, there you go, duly noted.
Red to me was post-punk. It was nightclubs. It was then the 80s, power dressing. And I just had this incredible red suit. I wore bright red lipstick very late 70s into the early 80s, mid-80s, and it was just such a powerful color. And then I remember getting someone in to do the windows at Harvey Nichols, and we were doing this sort of crazy Baroque Christmas, and we painted the back windows in this extraordinary bright pillar-brock rose, but then he just varnished over it as well, which looked amazing. The guy who did this, and I thought, I'm going to do this at home.
And it's almost lackered
it, really, effectively. Beautiful. I had an old Edwardian house, and I did the dining room in this really rich, rich red. It was beautiful. It really was wonderful.
Well, it's kind of interesting you talk about the dining room, because obviously that was a classic trope in British decoration of the red dining room.
Oh, you, am I a classic trope? Does that mean a cliche?
No, because you did. Yeah, you're just a plagiarist, darling. But I know you did a really glamorous version. You did a lacquer, a chinoiserie, Japan lacquer, which sounds much more glamorous than a red wall. But red is metabolism booster. So that's quite often why it is sort of put into dining rooms. For like conviviality in eating. You know, with colour psychology, it's definitely one of those things that comes up. So whether that's true or not.
This is, I'm talking, you know, Chanel lipstick, bright red.
Okay.
That's the red I'm talking.
So not quite a vermilion, more like a cardinal red.
Yeah, like...
Yeah, it's a really difficult red to kind of frame, isn't it? Because there's no blue in it.
And no, there's no blue at all.
And it's not lurid, but it's really, really red. There, isn't it?
It's there.
Yeah.
It's like I think a great you said pillar box or earlier lipstick. When we
were, kind of pillar box red. And it's quite funny because I was kind of wondering what pillar box red, because we obviously got other reds in our collection. I was looking at Rectory Red and I actually had my colour card and actually going out to the pillar box. And people thought, well, what is that strange man doing with a Faribault colour chart going up to the post box? And I couldn't quite match it. But I know that red's amazing. Red's a funny one for me. And you said very specifically from the 80s, your post-punk or the post-punk moment. And I kind of decorated with it a little bit. I did a booth in my study. So I was the youngest of three. And I had this tiny, tiny bedroom because I had the box room. And I had nowhere for a desk. So there's one wardrobe, which is kind of redundant. So I took the door off and put a shelf in it. And I painted this inner cubicle in bright red.
I get that. I would totally get
that. In my little bedroom.
Yeah, fabulous.
And it's really sweet because that was suddenly my little office. I mean, obviously, the symbolism of red, not only the metabolism booster, but sex, anger, warning, so many kind of associations with red. So you've never decorated in red, apart from your dining room. That's it. Did you love it when you did it?
I absolutely loved it. I just loved it. It was of the time, though. That was sort of like, you know, the late 80s. And it was very much of that time. And I suppose that was a time of anger. That was a time of... I remember not loving the 80s, but being a time where I really took off, you know, started to go into the world of work and found my feet in a sort of energy that really wasn't quite me. You know, this was a time of Thatcherism,
Wall Street, and
New York... You know, money, and there was a lot of anger and propelling forward. That's what red says to me. And I remember reading a book by Peter Ackroyd on London, and he talked about the colour of London is red, which was really interesting. And it is one of those that it's a kind of fighting energy that goes with it.
Yeah.
And I guess that was used in fashion a lot as well. The post-punk time, it would be the slashes of T-shirts with red across it. And it was also a time of great expression, which we lost, though, a lot of the way through the 80s.
Yeah.
If you think the late 70s, so your Bowies, your Bolands, and those kind of androgynous, gorgeous way that men dressed, and it was this, what we thought we were really moving forward, and that stopped under the politics of the 80s. And so to me, the red and the way it went into power dressing lost this wonderful creativity that red was, you know, part of, and that colour in particularly, you know, post-70s into the new romantics and the way everyone dressed with their frills and, you know, danced, and it was wonderful. So there was the movement from that wonderful androgynous fashion that was brought on by so many of the guys at the end of the 70s, you know, your Bowies that went through to the 80s, Bolan. But then it moved into a very sort of strong business colour. This was the time of, Wall Street, consumerism rising and power dressing. And I had a red suit at that time. I remember it so vividly that it was me changing from this young sort of out there girl in the sort of arts world into a businesswoman.
Oh, my God! I'm just sneaking in to have a pee, and I'm in the most beautifully bonkers kind of Baroque loo ever, with heavenly orange ceiling and trim colour, and with the most beautiful floral wallpaper with really strong petrol blues and pinks and brown. I mean, it's just... Mary, you're a genius! I do love your loo. I genuinely love your loo.
People always make loos really tiny and pokey.
Yeah.
And I love a beautiful loo, and I love it in great hotels if you've got a really classy loo, you know. And that was a little study when I bought the house, and I thought,
oh, was it?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
I'm going to make this into a loo.
A really generous loo.
A really generous loo, exactly. Yeah. And my daughter's friends came around once, and one of them said, I just love coming here and sitting in your loo. It's not that I'm spending a long time on the loo. I just want you to know, I just love the loo. But also the colour scheme in there was very much how I would have done houses in the past.
And it is the tension, because I've been downstairs to your kitchen and that's incredibly calm with lots of lovely wood tones and you know, very mellow. And then going in there, it's sort of like, what? She on acid?
Someone said it looked like William Morris on acid, and I laughed. I think that is absolutely right.
I'm going to make a huge assumption here. I'm fairly sure the trim colour and ceiling colour is Charlotte's Locks.
It is indeed. It
which is
indeed.
Actually rather brilliantly takes us into your third colour choice, which is your defining decade.
Yeah, which is orange.
Which is orange. Why? Is that your famous brilliant bob?
Well, yes, it's more orange than it was red. But I think it was lots of things. I don't know, I was just drawn to it. You get drawn to colour, don't you, through our mood. I mean, that's what we're talking about. It's interesting. There's a mood and a feeling and an energy that goes with colour, and you choose it in different times of your life or spaces and places where it works brilliantly or it doesn't. And orange started to, you know, it was my move on from yellow being my favourite. I suddenly found I was using and choosing orange an awful lot. You know, I would buy notebooks from Smyveson that were orange leather. You know, I had my hair coloured in that. And I suppose it was also a spiritual phase when I started going and started to be going deeper rooting into,
okay.
You know, and orange is very much part of that and used a lot. I mean, I think, you know, the Buddhists wear orange.
Yeah.
It's a colour of, I don't know, you can tell me what it is, a colour, but to me it felt a colour of warmth, awakening and joy. And I thought the Charlotte's Locks was just the most perfect orange.
It's really lovely, actually, you talking about the spiritual side of it. Because for me it's kind of an energising colour, it's a colour of positivity.
And it became my logo colour, and when I changed the agency name to Portus, it felt that was our colour.
I did it?
Yeah, totally. And we use it in a full stop, and I use it as a circle often. It's just become a really defining colour for me, yeah. My kids were born with bright orange hair. Well, it's hilarious because my mother was a redhead, proper orange, flame red orange hair. And my ex-husband's really, really dark, you know, to the extent that people thought he was, you know, maybe Spanish or Portuguese. And so I thought, I'll have these babies that are going to have this really dark, swarthy hair. And I ended up with kids who were literally wonderful orange hair.
Really?
It's auburn now, but yeah. So to me, it's a wonderful sort of... Yeah, it's my kids, the redheads.
So for us, Charlotte's Locks is great. It is a huge fondness for Farron Ball because it's named after our brilliant creative director, who I think you've probably met, called Charlie Cosby, who is just this ball of energy and zest. I've never used it, actually.
Oh, it's a beautiful colour. It's more than a happy colour. It's a very sensuous colour as well, orange, if it's used well.
Tell me more about the sensuous.
I just feel that there's a beautiful depth, and to me, using this splash of orange felt really seductive. I use it in the word, and red would maybe be used as that colour, but to me, orange felt so much more sensuous and seductive, and I don't know why. I could go deep on that.
Probably a little softer, isn't it? It's not so in your face.
It is softer, but it's also deeper, and I can't explain it any more than that, but it just feels... Maybe it felt a part of me where I was in my mid-40s and it became my colour, and that was a time where I actually felt empowered in my body and my physicality, which I think is very important. And it became very much a part of my physicality. And I've even got it in clothes. I have a pair of orange, that really beautiful orange, and but the back of the trousers are black as well. And again, when I put them on, it feels that it connects with my femininity. It's a very powerful sensual colour for me in that way.
So some people would probably struggle to choose their defining decade, but for you it seems quite a natural choice.
I think for me, the colour orange came, you know, whooshing into my life. Right. And it felt that it was where I was meant to be. And this was in my 40s. And I think so many of us think that our early years are very formative, which they are. But to me, that was a decade of me being truly who I was, and that colour reflects it. And it feels like a great friend to me. And it, many parts of my life, whether it was through my hair, through my fashion, through my home, through my business, I used orange. And it was a time where I absolutely felt in rhythm with the world. That's a great place to be. And to me, I often say to, you know, young women, just wait. You know, this is a time of life that's deeply important. And that colour, to me, reflected me sort of coming to where I was meant to be, coming home. So I'll never lose it. You'll see it's in the paintings there. You'll see it's in my loo. And it's the place where everybody wants to hang. So, yeah, that's my colour. And I think most people would say that's Mary's colour.
So, Mary, we're nearly there. We're going to go to your last bit. But your colour of now, where do you think you are emotionally, career-wise? Are you in a good place? Is this a steady place? And what colour represents that?
Oh, am I in a good place? I am in a very good place.
You sound in a good place.
I've spent the last year single, year and a half, and I never thought I would be a person who wanted to be sort of rooted and actually have solitude. And it's been wonderful. I mean, I don't have complete solitude, as you know. I have children, a very big sort of life. And so for me, being in my space, which is this, my London home, this home, and creating the right environment that nurtures me at this time of my life.
So, Mary, you've chosen cardamom, that beautiful, grounding, kind of deep khaki green with this lovely kind of dose of brown through it. But this is from our lovely Carte Blanche collection that we did with Christopher John Rogers, the fashion designer. So cardamom, obviously, those of you who like cooking will know it's that beautiful sort of delicate spice that you extract from that little green husk. And it just gives this lovely sort of fragrance to kind of milk or rice or curries.
Yeah, this is connecting in a way, rooting myself and being earthed here. And the colour that I chose, I think, reflect that. So the earth, and I think at the same time as well, I started going much, much deeper into what's happening in our planet and really being aware of how I could make an impact on that. My eldest son was moved to New York, and when I did the house up, and he came back and he went, "Oh, I love this, Mama. This is really soft." And that was the word he used. And to me, it is that. So, you know, an earth colour has to be quite important to me. And it could be lots of variations. I mean, we've chosen this gorgeous colour here, cardamom, because I love green. We didn't talk much about green, but, you know, it's my base colour, really,
yeah.
Of which then I can do splashes that you'll see through my art, through my china or so forth. But really, that sort of earthing, and I think we are all going to be feeling this so much more, knowing how important nature is to us and connecting back into that. And to me, that really is where I feel. I have a house in the Cotswolds, and I've done exactly the same. I started off thinking, oh, I'll do all these wonderful colours, you know, in these old 17th century house. But I found myself pulling back to these beautiful mix of earth colours.
You're Miss Stroud, aren't you?
I am.
Which is so kind of creative and really interesting. And,
activists.
Yeah, it really is.
Stroud and proud. Yes. So the use of colour even through there and the greens and the stone, that gorgeous caramelly stone of the Cotswolds, I think is, and, you know, I've got my hair which is letting its greys and its caramels that I add to it through it. It's become very much where I feel comfortable.
Okay. I mean, cardamom, it's really funny because I love sort of greens. I love browns. And this has kind of got that slightly hybrid note. I suppose if you want to be a little bit scatological about it, there's a slight sort of hint of cowpat.
I think there is a big hint of cowpat.
Isn't there?
Yeah. We love them. The belted Galloways on the my house is Swift's Hill, which is always, and I can see it from my house, and the belted Galloways, and we always laugh and call them the gelted Balloways. And we look at them up on the hill. So cows looking across and their pats, that you've kindly said this cardamom is, gives me happiness. I don't find that a worry at all.
It's really elegant, though. It's really,
really,
really
elegant.
I
would do my woodwork in this. I think it would be beautiful.
Would you?
Yeah.
Because you know if you go to the Cotswolds as well, there's that kind of pastiche of a mid-green grey, French grey or something on all the woodwork.
Did you?
or pigeon. This, with Cotswold stone and exterior woodwork,
stunning.
Is unbelievably
stunning.
Beautiful.
Stunning.
I think we are not going back to nature. I think we're all hopefully moving in the right direction. And I definitely think we're much more conscious of how we need to be better and make better choices.
The thing is, Patrick, if we're not conscious, then that worries me, you know. And I think we are becoming that. And I think, you know, we hear so much pain in the world at the moment. And I think there's a really much greater consciousness of connection and going back to nature. And one of the things I used to do was go up and sit on the hill, Swift's Hill, behind our house where the cowpats are, which are very similar to the cardamom colour, with my young son and draw with him. And just getting out those colours and crayons and seeing which ones he chose. And I think we are, the reason why I think people are moving away from these vibrant colours is that we need this connection and being earthed. So to me, it's got to be earth colours with that wonderful green that goes through it, but that muddy... I can't describe it as well as you, but maybe the cowpats are the best that we can go for.
Well, it's just, I was just looking at it. I think it definitely resonates with this, like, you know, that slightly fresh cowpat. So lastly, and my favourite part of the show is when we at Farran Ball gift you a colour. To take it into your world, the future colour for Mary, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of thinking about this. I think it was really hard for me to put the Mary I've seen on TV, the Mary I've seen interviewed, the Mary with all these extraordinary opinions and this drive and passion. And I know we've kind of, you know, your kind of stage where you are now is this grounding, these earthy colours and everything. And I kind of think I'm possibly firing you out there again into beyond that. But it felt right because of everything you've done, you know, your work from the government, your work at high street, your work at retail, you know, and your own journey, you know, from losing your mother and then your father and having a divorce and everything. And, you know, I know you've talked openly about, you know, during the pandemic, you, your business is kind of on the line too. So we've got a colour called Imperial Purple. But purple has all these wonderful connotations of majesty and sort of power, but not in a, you know, not in a bossy sort of authoritarian way. So I wanted to call this Imperial Mary. And it's about reinvention. It's formidable. You know, it's fighting on. It's reinventing yourself. There's strength in it. And you're still all those things, even though you found your grounding space and you love your kind of retreat. I still think you're this extraordinary, powerful woman. I mean, I've looked up to you. I'm slightly starstruck today. So we've created this sample pot for you.
It's a very beautiful colour. It's a really interesting... I would normally not use purple at all. Yet, in a weird way, I'm looking at this and thinking, I totally understand this. And thank you for your... lovely tribute there. And I am still the person who's out there at the front. I need this to go back out again every time. The way you described it and the imperialism, of course, my ego's going, oh, lovely. Of course, there's a part of me that's still that. Oh, yes. I'm thinking a throne to go with it. Queen Mary. Hilarious. But I would try and use it. I want to do that and say to you, I've used this because...
I'm not gifting you a colour because I think you should use it. That's kind of, but if you wanted to use it, it could be a garden chair. You know, it doesn't have to be a huge commitment anywhere.
No, I was thinking it's I've got this wonderful barn door, and I was thinking that would look really good on my barn door. And there's bats in there as well, by the way. They're probably that colour.
Which are protected. Mary, I can't thank you enough. Thank you so much. You've been brilliant.
It has been a wonderful pleasure. I've never done my life story through colour, and everyone should do this. I think we underestimate how much colour does influence us and how it makes us feel. And I think once you start to go through this and you dig that little bit deeper, you know, like, it's so easy to say, oh, I just love yellow. Why? And then you start to go back a bit and you go a little bit deeper down. And most of it's linked to how we feel and what it does for us. And that to me is, you know, the world is colourful. I always see life in colour.
And if you'd like to know a little bit more about Mary, you can follow her at Mary Porter's Official. You can also follow us at Farrow and Ball. And of course, you can discover all the colours we talked about today on our website. Come and find me. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this episode. And if you've enjoyed this conversation,
please do spread the word. My guest next week is the fashion guru, Tan France. Woohoo! The Cremologist is a Farron Ball and Feast Collective production. The producer is Sarah Cudden. Until the next one, goodbye and big hugs.